Call Banks. For really, this is the last time this year. Brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. The two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58 in your program, our good buddy Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I'm good. Say it ain't so, Joe. I'll be back for basketball.
Oh, that's right.
All kinds of stuff.
All right.
Yeah, we'll preview that Knicks playoff series.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, that means I won't be back for a while.
No, we can preview the Cavs against, you know, whoever right. is stuck with in the first round, all that crazy
stuff.
Well,
I'm all over that.
Hey, their dysfunction's a lot of fun. I mean, who could deny that?
Yeah.
Them getting blown out on Saturday nights. Your impression of what you saw last night with the Philadelphia Eagles actually winning the Super Bowl. Your thoughts on what happened?
It was an absolutely fantastic game. Great game plan by Coach Peterson and great execution by his guys. I will say that they've got a great dilemma on their hands moving forward, which I'll get to that a little bit later. But I just thought they were fearless. The whole game, they did not take their foot off the gas. And you know, when you're playing the Patriots, you've got to beat them because they will, as you can see as evidence, when they had the ball last, no matter how much time is on the clock, there's still a shot at it. But their offense, they had big play after big play after big play. They had a really good game plan. I don't think it helped the Patriots with Malcolm Butler on the bench, because I think he would have made a difference on some of those big plays, because they didn't contest as well on some of the Alshon Jeffrey plays as well as if Butler were in there. So, but I take nothing away from the Philadelphia Eagles. They played a superb game. They did everything they needed to do to win the football game. And just their offense was incredible. Their defense was just like the Patriots, but they came up with the biggest play in the game from Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
So, they did what they had to do. I think right now the Eagles should celebrate it. They should know that that feeling will dissipate fast because everybody's coming after them and they're going to have a lot to defend. But they put a lot on the minds of not only the NFC East, but the entire NFL with the way they were aggressively going after their opponent.
You know, let's go to the Malcolm Butler situation, because, I mean, I didn't understand it at all. Now, here's my thought process when he's not playing. This is me, Carl, the way I think. He's a free agent at the end of the year, okay? He's not coming back. It doesn't look like he's coming back to the Pats. Maybe Bill got windy. He was going to sign with the Jets. He got ticked off at him, and he stuck it to him. Well, he wound up sticking it to himself. But
you never know the real story behind this stuff.
Right.
And you don't know if Butler will ever talk about it beyond what he said, other than the fact that he said that they turned it back or they quit on him or something like that. But, Bill, for whatever his reason, he did give his guys a chance, but they were giving up way too many big plays.
Oh, God,
but they were still in the game.
Their defense was terrible.
He makes it. Detroit, this is your coach, by the way.
Yes.
and not the Giant coach.
That's right.
Detroit, there's your coach.
Right.
But it's like he felt he was good enough on offense and that if he got the ball, he'd win the game. And I guess he made a decision or they made a decision. And like I said, we don't know what was behind that, but it was odd. You know, he is one of their best defensive players and certainly the best defensive back they have. And we don't know if it was discipline. He said coach's decision, so we'll go with that. But I certainly don't think he helped his team by putting him on the bench.
No,
I could be wrong.
I agree.
I know Butler's such a such an asset to them on defense.
No, you're not wrong. You're 100% right. I mean, you got a guy like Johnson Bottomosi, who misses a big tackle on third down when he shouldn't be on the field.
They missed a lot of tackles in the way.
They had a lot of them. And also, I saw after the game, Daron Harmon was asked about this. And you could see the look in his eye, and his answer was basically, ask the coach.
Yeah.
If you're a teammate, if you're on that Patriot team, Carl, how do you feel? I mean, especially if you're not given a reason for why one of your better defensive players isn't out there, a Super Bowl hero from a few years ago, aren't you ticked off that?
No, because you look at yourself, in the mirror, and you know you had opportunities, and you missed the tackle, not Butler. You blew the coverage, not Butler. If you want to concede that he's better than you and he should be out there, that's one thing, yes. But once you get out there and the game is played, you can no longer point the finger. Now, you can pout before the game, but once you're out there and you have opportunities to make plays and you don't, you can't look at the coach and say it's your fault because I missed a tackle or I blew a coverage. But, yeah, I mean, as a whole, as a unit, you're all looking at each other probably before kickoff saying, what the heck, man? Why is this guy on the sideline? And, yeah, you lost, and you'll probably congregate because that's what happens when you lose and you kind of do an autopsy, the player version of it, and you probably say, man, he screwed us by not putting him out there, but we had a shot. They had a shot, and they just did not play well enough, or I'm sorry, they didn't execute well enough to win the football game because they had their opportunities. But look, Nick Foles, Doug Peterson, Alshon Jeffries, LeGarrette Blunt, all of that group did a fantastic job of staying in attack mode, and it still almost was not enough.
You know, it's very rare, talking, of course, to Carl Banks, it's very rare that I could say Bill Belichick got out-coached, and I thought yesterday he clearly did. I thought he did.
He got out-coached on a couple of plays. Yeah, I mean, and that's the gamesmanship of what Frank Reich and Doug Peterson, I saw something on Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback where they call it the target bunch play where Foles caught the touchdown. He's right, like, they've right. never seen it. The guy who threw the ball had never thrown the ball since Trey college. Burton. Foles had never caught a ball and had never been a receiver. So they had the perfect one to pull out now. I'm sure if you ask Belichick, he'll say, yeah, they got us, but I was in the defense, and if my guys would have counted the numbers and played the numbers the way they should have, Foles should not have been wide open. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of a trick play, right? It's trick the defense into seeing something that's not there.
The story of that trick play from Monday Morning Quarterback, where Peter King continues to prove he's the best in the business, is that they found the play in a Viking-Bear game week 17 and kept it under wraps. They didn't even practice it this week because they were afraid somebody would see it. You never know. It's Super Bowl week. And so they practiced it in the ballroom of the hotel a couple of days ago, and they were ready to use it. Peterson was ready to call it, and boy, oh boy, he picked a hell of a time. Fourth and goal from the one-yard line to whip out that play.
Yeah, and it was executed to perfection. Mm. And that's the thing that makes coaches so nervous is that, boy, we got this thing in. We haven't practiced it. Let's just hope it goes well, just like the pass to Brady who dropped.
Right.
You know, that's always the biggest concern, but they did it. Listen, this was the Philadelphia Eagles' time. They did everything as well as they could have, and they did it with aggression, and that is why they won the football game.
What'd you think about, you know, mention that play to Brady, okay, where he drops it. You know, it was a little long of a pass by Amendola, but he could have caught it, let's be honest. They go for it.
Yeah, he should have caught it.
Yeah, no, I agree. The next play, that was a 3rd and 5. They go for it on the 35-yard line on 4th and 5 instead of trying like a 52-yard field goal. What did you think about that decision?
Well, I think because they had a missed field goal, right, or something.
Yeah, well, that wasn't it. Yeah, but that was the whole debauch to play. Right, right.
Right. So I'm sure the tempo of the game, Belichick in his head was like, I got to score points. They like the Patriots, were good red zone defense. So they were not giving up a lot of scores. So they wanted to try to get something while they were at that end of the field. And I think he felt that they had a play that could get them in the end zone. And, I mean, similar. Think of the mindset. Both guys, both coaches had the same mindset. They weren't trying to settle for field goals.
We're talking to Carl Banks about this Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles. I can't believe I'm uttering this sentence. They're Super Bowl champions. I'm disgusted.
Get used to it.
I know.
It's a fact. They earned it, man.
No, they did.
This wasn't one they lucked up on. But you know what, Evan? The last play of the game, I sat in my chair. I was at the stadium. And as soon as Brady broke free, I screamed, Eli Manning. it was similar. It just blurted out. I'm like, oh, my God, Eli.
But
it came up short. It came up short. But it was that was a fitting end to a game like that exciting.
You mentioned earlier, you alluded to something earlier, and now I want to ask about it, that the Eagles are going to have a controversy or a decision. Are you talking about the quarterbacks?
Interesting dilemma.
What's the dilemma?
Well, because they have a quarterback who's under contract, this is probably the height of his marketability.
Agreed.
But if you want to go into next season and not miss a beat, you need this guy on the roster. I say that because you've got a quarterback who is coming off a knee surgery, and all indications that he's going to recover well. But there is the mental aspect of it. There is still the football aspect of getting back out there on the field. You don't want to drop four games with Mark Sanchez as your quarterback. You want this guy. And all indications is that Nick Foles is a team guy. He will hand the reins over when it's time. Now, I don't know if the Philadelphia fans are going to allow him to hand those reins over. But then the flip side of that controversy also, or dilemma, is that your young quarterback is still under contract. So if you wanted to give Nick Foles some more money, you could, because you don't have to worry about it upsetting the apple cart financially, because the other kid is still under contract, under his rookie contract. Mm. So you've got a dilemma, but I would say if I'm sitting in that front office and I have my starting young quarterback is coming off a knee surgery with two ligaments, I'm saying I want to give this kid the best chance to come back healthy. If he proves that he's ready in training camp, you can still trade Nick Foles. But I'm not going into the season, in my opinion, I wouldn't go into the season with just Carson Wentz coming off of surgery and Mark Sanchez or whoever the backup quarterback's going to be. Not coming off of this type of Super Bowl.
You know what's great about the plan that you have of keeping him is that, let's say you keep him around. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You keep him around, and he never has to play because Carson Wentz is healthy. Not only can you trade him midseason before the deadline, kind of what New England did with Jimmy Garoppolo, but even at the end of the year, you could franchise him and deal him, and his value is still going to be high because he wouldn't have done anything to hurt his value. He wouldn't have played. So
he'd still have
that value.
Yeah, his resume is set now, unless he goes out and lays an egg. But his resume is set, and I tell you, the options that the Eagles have, I wouldn't go into the season without him on the roster. Just for the fact that Wentz is now in a place that he's never been before. Your team has momentum. The world has been served notice that Nick Foles can hurt you, and you do not want that to be the narrative going, the what-if scenario going into the season. What if Wentz isn't ready? We already gave away Nick Foles. Mm. You don't want to do that.
You know, and I'll tell you something else, too. The pressure is really on Carson Wentz now to win a Super Bowl, because now that Foles has done that, I mean, as good as Wentz is and was this year and, you know, potential to be, there's a lot of pressure on him to win, especially in Philadelphia. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all the more reason they shouldn't let Foles get out of there. But it will be some pressure, but it doesn't have to be next year. I'm sure somebody in his camp has whispered, okay, kids, you got to go get yourself one now, too.
No doubt.
Because he'll be fun, he'll be exciting, but if he doesn't get that Super Bowl, then Nick Foles is going to be the guy that they love forever, because they've had some exciting quarterbacks in the past. They've never gotten him to the promised land, and this will be the guy.
He's a god.
That is true.
What did you think of the Eli Odell commercial?
Oh my, did
Carl?
You see it? Because you were at the game, right?
Oh my god, they showed it in the stadium. It was priceless. I laughed so hard. The entire stadium just bust out laughing. And you know, when it started, and they showed Eli, then they showed Odell. You heard some moans and groans.
Right.
But by the time that commercial was over, everyone was in stitches.
And I got to give you like credit, because he had to do a lot of practice for that. I mean, come on. I mean, he had to do a lot of work for that commercial, right or wrong?
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible.
Beckham, too, but I see Beckham an easier time doing it than Eli, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Beckham does a little more dancing, I would say.
Yes.
He's got a little more fluid hip than Eli.
Yes, he does.
No doubt. Carl, it's been a great season all year long.
Well, I'll see you guys, and I'll call in every once in a while when we get a little basketball.
You know what? Wait, actually, before we let you go, there's something we forgot to ask you about. I got to ask you about this. The Two Bills documentary.
Oh, my God. We needed you the other day to talk about that,
man.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
That was incredible. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Now, you tweeted this because, you know, we're watching the documentary. There's so much to take out of it, the Jet stuff, the Giant stuff. But Belichick leaves to become the head coach of the Browns. A few months later, Bill Parcells resigns. So my first reaction is, oh, my God, so Bill Belichick could have replaced Parcells with the Giants. And you tweeted that wasn't going to happen, right?
That is correct. It was not going to happen.
And that's because what? George Young didn't like Bill Belichick as a head coach?
Well, that decision was made, correct. He just didn't want Belichick as his head coach.
Hmm. How do you think it would have worked out? Because, I mean, it was his first coaching job in Cleveland. Sometimes you need that to learn, but how do you think it
had to be better than Ray Hanley?
Well, yes. In an alternate universe.
It would have worked out great because he knew the personnel. He knew the mentality of the personnel. He didn't have to build anything in terms of winning mentality. And the team kind of, the ownership was locked in. They knew their feeling. They knew what it was, what it would take. And we were a dominant football team. So he just had to come in and just beat Bill Belichick. And it would have been, probably he would have had similar success, I believe, that he's had in New England.
Wow. When you found out, because remember, after the first Super Bowl in 86 that you guys won, there was rumors Bill was going to Tampa. You know, heard all that stuff about he was going to leave and go to Tampa.
Yeah.
And it obviously didn't happen. After, you know, after you win in 90, okay, Bill doesn't leave until, like, May. I mean, what were your thoughts when you found out Bill was leaving at that point?
Well, we were all upset, basically, but not surprised. But we were upset. We didn't want to lose Bill, obviously. But, you know, going to New England, I think he found the right situation. And let's call it like it is. He and George didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Right,
and so
right.
If Parcells had the opportunity to kind of write his own ticket in terms of how he wants to build a team and doesn't have to have pushback on every decision, he had it. And I think he put together a really darn good team. And it was in the likeness of his Giant teams in New England. And so he had a nice run.
It seemed, you know, when Belichick had that press conference when he left the Jets, that it had bothered him many times about these Parcells rumors or Parcells telling him, hey, I may leave. But he said, yeah, he told me he may leave after 87, after 88, that's something that was out there almost every year where Bill was thinking, Parcells, it was thinking about leaving or retiring or doing whatnot.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the theme with Bill Parcells, and it's so funny because he could always threaten to leave and tell his guys I might be out of here, but he would never let any of his guys go take other jobs. You notice that staff never got an opportunity because he did it. It was almost like he did with contract negotiations. He'd get his coaches in the room and say, well, this contract is good. This offer is good as long as you're in the room. You walk out. The door the offers off the table.
Mm. Interesting.
Very. Carl,
yes.
We appreciate it, my friend.
Carl, we'll talk
Thank
to you.
Thank you, guys.
Be well.
Have a good one.
Carl Banks on the Super Bowl and the two Bills. We'll